This week, October 15th, 2013, on The Digital Story, Pentax's crazy K3 DSLR, the nimble photographer lives, and easy hair light for portraits. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have some great topics for you this week. I'm going to start out talking about the new Pentax K3. And then I have an announcement about the Nimble Photographer. And this is something that has been a long time in the works. And I'm so happy that today is the debut. So certainly going to spend some time with that in the second segment. And then I have a great tip for you today, and it has to do with portraits and an easy way to add a hair light. And believe me, hair lights are not easy if you don't have your system worked out. This one is, and I think you're really going to like it. But let's start out with the Pentax K3. So I was talking about this camera on This Week in Photo, the last episode of This Week in Photo. And it was interesting to me that the other two co-hosts, Frederick and Dave, weren't really, you know, they're going, well, it's Pentax, you know. I think they were bought by Ricoh. And, you know, it was sort of going down that road. Pentax is a brand that I follow. I try to follow a lot of brands, and especially the brands outside of Canon and Nikon. And I'll tell you one thing. They have been doing some amazing work at the DSLR level, and I'm talking about Pentax right now. Now, of course, here I go. I'm championing the Pentax cause, and I'm talking about the Pentax camera that I have, and I was calling it the K2 when actually it's the K5. And, you know, this numbering thing is about to drive me nuts. You know, Olympus is doing it with the OMD, right? The OMD that I have is the EM5. And then they came out with a new one that's the, you know, the EM1. And so Pentax comes out with a K3. So just in my brain while I'm talking, you know, well, I have the earlier model, so I have the K2. No, I have the K5. And then someone on Facebook said, well, yeah, they already have a K2 from the film days or something like that. So it's just wacky. I mean, they're not moving in a straight line here. And obviously, I am having a hard time keeping up. So at any rate, so I have the K5 Pentax, which is the previous model to the current just released or just announced anyway, K3. And none of that is really super important other than that I do have some history, you know, with what these guys are doing. So the K3 is really, on paper anyway, I think it's pretty exciting. You know, one of the things that the guys on TWIP were talking about was, well, you know, is anyone really doing anything innovative in the DSLR world right now? And I think they are. I mean, I think what Canon did with the 70D is pretty innovative. And I think what Pentax is doing with the K3 is also pretty innovative. And what they have done is that they've given us some control over the anti-aliasing filter. So this filter is something that is usually in between the lens and the sensor on most cameras. And it helps with certain things. One of the things that it helps with is preventing moiré patterns when you're shooting fabrics or certain patterns so that it doesn't get all, you know, digitally looking. A trend then became for Nikon, for example, to offer models without the filter. And I think Pentax did it too on the revision of the K5. They offered a model without that filter for those who weren't going to shoot those sort of things and wanted that extra bit of sharpness for landscape work and things like that. What they did now, what Pentax has done now with the K3, is this is pretty crazy. They created a simulator, and I have to read this directly from what Pentax published to make sure I get it right. They created a simulator that applies microscopic vibrations to the image sensor unit at the subpixel level during image exposure, generating the same level of moiré reduction effect as an optical anti-aliasing filter, but it's adjustable. So in other words, it's not a switchable anti-aliasing filter, you know, where you can like lift it up and get it out of the way or drop it down. They've actually created a simulator that allows you to adjust. And I believe I saw three different levels that you can adjust of the anti-aliasing effect. So for instance, when you're shooting fashion with a lot of fabric and stuff, you would have it full strength. When you're shooting landscape, you might remove it altogether or have a mild anti-aliasing effect. And I think this is really interesting. And if that isn't innovative, I don't know how you define innovative otherwise. I think that's pretty interesting stuff. Now, the camera doesn't stop there. By the way, this is a camera that will start out at $1,295, $1,300 essentially for the body. And I believe it's going to be out next month. They put a brand new sensor in there, and it's a 24 megapixel sensor. And they also include a new imaging engine. So they have reworked that part. And again, this is compared to the K5, new sensor, new imaging engine, 24 megapixels, a new AF module with 27 autofocus points, high-speed continuous shooting up to 8.3 frames per second, in-body image stabilization, which they've had on the previous models, which is really nice. So you save money on lenses is the way that it works out, because your lenses don't have to have image stabilization in them. You have it right there in the body. It works, and I like it a lot, and the K3 has that. A 3.2-inch LCD monitor with over a million dots, a lot of dots. In the Pentax tradition, it is dust-proof, weather-resistant body construction. I can attest to this with the K5. It is the camera that I use for backpacking and so forth. And I have, as I've mentioned before, I have shot with it in the rain, in the snow. It does fantastic. The companion lenses that they make for the DSLRs are also weather resistant, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to get a weather resistant lenses. One of the really nice things about the Pentax kit, they added dual SD card slots, which I love, having two SD card slots. Wish I had that on all my cameras, actually. And they upped the USB interface to 3.0. A lot of good stuff there. So what don't you get for your $1,300? Well, interestingly enough, you don't get built-in Wi-Fi. They don't have Wi-Fi in this camera, which I think is an oversight. It should be in there if they really, Wi-Fi now is the thing that I think people are looking for in the next DSLR or mirrorless camera that they're buying. So it doesn't have that. It is iFi compatible, and the Mobi card works great. And then Pentax Ricoh has developed something called a Flu card, FLU, that also works with a smartphone app. I haven't tested that, so I don't know how that works. But supposedly, it's specifically designed for this camera, the K3, and I suppose other Ricoh Pentax cameras that are coming down the pike. And the LCD does not have touchscreen capability. So that's not as big to me as Wi-Fi. But, you know, in a flagship camera that's just now coming out in late 2013, that's something that would have been nice to have. So those are the two things that are missing. I'd love to see and read an in-depth review of how this simulator works, this anti-aliasing simulator, because I just think it's really neat being able to have a camera that would work really well in the studio when you're doing fabric shots and things like that. And then would also, you know, can be optimized for when you're out doing landscape shooting. That's pretty cool stuff. The nice thing about Pentax also is that you can spend a little on the lenses and get some pretty good glass for not very much money, help you get started. And then up the road, you can buy more expensive Pentax glass, which is really quite good. And then I have this thing. I have an adapter that I've ordered, and it's going to allow me to put my Zeiss lenses, my contact Zeiss lenses, on my Pentax K5. And that should be here real soon, and I'll be doing a blog post about that once that comes, because the image stabilization is built in to the camera, so I can put these older lenses on it and use it. So we'll see how that all works. But anyway, the K3, I just think it deserves some attention. It is an outstanding camera on paper, and if the images are anything like what I get from the K5, it's going to be an outstanding camera in use. $1,300 from Pentax. We'll see it in November. Those of you that are Pentax fans, I'm sure you're excited about this. And if you're looking to add a DSLR to your collection, especially if you're an outdoor shooter, you might want to take a look at this and see what you think. Second story, the nimble photographer lives. So I got to be careful on this segment because I could talk a long time about this, and I don't want to do that. At least not today. I want to keep it a normal segment length. So I'll try to hit the high points. But here's the bottom line here. Here's what's going on. As of today, I have launched a new website at thenimblephotographer.com. Now, I have been working on this project for quite a while, actually a couple years. I was surprised and happy when the URL was available. I was surprised and happy when the Gmail account for The Nimble Photographer was available. And if I locked those down right away when I was thinking that I wanted to do this. The trademark, The Nimble Photographer, was available, and I did all that legal stuff and have been working on that to get that squared away. And no one had claimed it first. And I was just going, you know, when these sort of things happen, when the URL's available, the email's available, the trademark's available, that's either a really good sign that it's meant to be, or a really bad sign that it's such a terrible idea that no one wants to touch it. Now, I'm hoping it's the former and not the latter. In fact, I'm pretty sure it is the former. So what am I talking about here? In March of 2010, I did a video called The Nimble Photographer, and essentially what the point of the video was is that I took a low-pro messenger bag that wasn't very big, and I put an iPad in there and a nice, I think it was a Canon S90 compact camera that shoots RAW, and a couple other items, and I talked about how in this bag, where the total thing weighed less than 5 pounds, how you could really be a functional photographer out in the world, where you could take high-quality pictures, you could post them, you could edit them, do all this stuff, carrying everything in the shoulder bag that was very discreet and didn't weigh a lot. And I coined the term nimble photographer because that's exactly what it was. You know, I was like, when I was carrying this bag, I was like light on my feet. I wasn't dancing around the streets in San Francisco, but I sure was feeling good. And at the end of the day, I felt as good as I did at the beginning of the day. And I think that's a pretty good sign. So it was a term that sort of stuck, and I used it more, coined another term, nimblosity. And I would say that things had a high nimblosity rating, which means that, you know, they were light and easy to use. And we were just having fun with it. It was a fun thing. But the thing that I liked about it, when I talked about nimble photographer or nimblosity, people right away understood what I was talking about. They got it. You know, they say, yeah, you know, I'm tired of carrying, you know, 25 pounds worth of gear every time I go to take a picture. I would like to be a bit lighter myself. I'd like to be more nimble. So as time went on, and as I continued to have discussions about this, I said, hey, you know, I'd like to formalize this whole concept and create a community around it, have a home base for it, the whole deal. So that's when I started thinking about creating the site, The Nimble Photographer. And that site is now a reality, and it has some very basic parts to it, but I think important parts. The first part that it has a journal. And this is a journal to me is different than blog posts. A journal to me is literally like a journal, like, you know, that leather-bound, lined paper notebook that you jot your thoughts down in an informal way when they're happening. And as time goes by, a lot of times becomes very valuable. And that's what this is. This is a journal where I just talk about experiences, most of them relating to being a nimble photographer, but some of them just relating to just life itself. And because a lot of times, you know, there's overlap in all of that. And the journal has the ability to comment. So for instance, if I am talking about Wi-Fi, for example, Wi-Fi enabled, that's a journal post. Then if you have thoughts that you want to add to it, or if it springs something in your mind, then you can comment on that too and sort of add to the journal entry, which is different. That's a different part than what we normally get to do with journals. So I've been making journal entries now for a couple months because I wanted to have that populated when I launched the site. And I can tell you right now, I really enjoyed doing them. And every time I get an idea for a journal entry, I make sure I save it. I've got a little note sheet where I'm saving my journal ideas. And I got some stuff coming up that are going to be great journal entries. So that part of it alone, I'm pretty excited about. The next section is called Walkabout. And this is something where, you know, I'm out and about taking pictures with my iPhone, taking pictures with my regular cameras, my mirrorless and my DSLRs. And these pictures go to various places. My iPhone shots usually go to Instagram. My other shots usually go to Flickr. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice just to have a walkabout page where you could see the latest shots, the latest Instagram shot, the latest Flickr shot, the latest tweets, that kind of stuff. And then I'm saving a spot on that page for reader-contributed shots, and I'll talk more about that in a second. So journal is words, walkabout is pictures. But they're both of a very similar nature, which is as we walk through this world, you know, as we take only pictures and leave only footsteps, we have a record of this. And to me, that's interesting. Hopefully that's going to be interesting to you too. Now, another section that I have is called Fit Kits, and people that I've showed this to really liked it. And what it is, it's a series of what I call a fit kit, where I lay out all the stuff that's in a Nimble Photographer bag. And I have all these different configurations. Some configurations are lighter and more nimble. Some are a little bit more heavyweight, depending on what I use them for. But it's fun. And I have, I think, like 10 of these laid out, where I have all the pieces that are in the fit kit, talk about the size bag that they go into, and then have links to all the pieces listed in the fit kit. It's a lot of fun. I think you're really going to like it. And this is where that space I'm saving on walkabout comes into play, because I figure a lot of you also have some pretty cool kits that you've developed. And once you see how I photograph these fit kits, that maybe you will photograph your favorite kit, send it to me, and then let me feature that on Walkabout. And I just think that's going to be, you know, big fun to see some of these other fit kits that you have created and that you're using. So that's another section. And then for the first time ever, I've created a store. It's the Nimble Store, because you don't want to wander out into the world without a comfortable shirt, without a bag, without a nice hat. And the Nimble Store has been probably one of the more interesting parts of developing this, because I've never run a store before. So I have learned a lot about all of this in the last few months. But basically, what I have in there right now to launch it, I have three different types of shirts, and they're fun. And I have a Nimble Photographer hat. I love the hat. The hat is made by Oray, and it is a super comfortable cotton hat. What we did was we literally laid out 30 different brands of caps and really said, you know, what do we like about this? What do we don't like about this? The cap that won, the cap that just everyone goes, that is a nice cap, is this cap that we're using. I had to special order it directly from the manufacturer. And then what we did is that we embroidered the walking man on the front. And the walking man is the icon. You'll see it when you go to the site. So the walking man is embroidered on the front. And then the Nimble Photographer is embroidered on the back. And it goes in a half circle in the back of the cap where you make the adjustment. And it looks really, really nice. So that's in there. And I just got the shipment of caps back from the embroiderer today, and they look so good. They look so nice. I have one I've been wearing for a couple weeks as I had a sample made. And, you know, I have a lot of caps. And right now, I just haven't really wanted to wear anything else because I like this one so much. So we have that in there. And then there's a special edition messenger bag. And some of you that have been to my workshops will know about this bag. It's the one that's made out of 95% recycled materials. It's a low pro bag. I made arrangements to get my hands on these bags. So one of them is in this really wonderful color. It's called Grasshopper Green. That's very beautiful. That's very similar to the color of the logo type on the Nimble Photographer. I have 40 of those bags. And so what I did was we have the walking man embroidered on the flap of the bag. It doesn't say Nimble Photographer or anything. It's just this nice, cool-looking, low-pro messenger bag with a walking man embroidered on it. There's 40 of them, and it's sort of like, you know, the special edition, and I'm using this to launch the site. So we have 40 of those in inventory, and they're in the store also. Each bag will come with a numbered card, so like 01/40, 02/40, and I'll sign it too. So I'll sign the card, not the bag. That's what we're starting out with, and I've got some really cool things on the drawing board that we'll be adding to the store. The store will continue to grow over time. Now, one thing I want to mention is that each order will come with a little card, this business card size, the Nimble Photographer card with the walking man on it. If you buy something from the store, hang on to that card. Put it in a safe place. If you get the messenger bag, there's actually a slot designed specifically for it that you can keep it safe. Hang on to that card because we're actually going to be doing something with that card up the road. And that's something fun that's in the works. For now, all you need to know is hang on to the card, and one will come with each item. So if you order like a hat and a t-shirt, then two cards will come. Hang on to those. So that is the Nimble Photographer site. It is up. It is rolling. It's something that will evolve with your participation. And obviously, it's going to be something I'm going to be feeding a lot into because it's what I do. And this is the thing about the site that's so exciting to me. It's what I do. And I finally have a place to channel something that is just my natural way of exploring the world, of investigating new tools to use, and exploring new places. So nimblephotographer.com. I hope you go there. Check everything out. And we'll be talking about it more. But for now, I'm going to just stop because, like I said, I could go on for a long time about this project. Okay, last story. Story number 3. Easy hair light for portraits. Easy hair. This, you know, hair lights will drive you nuts. And at the same time, they really add a lot to a lot of portraits, especially people that have darker hair. And basically what a hair light is a light that you position up above the subject one way or another, and just adds a little shine to the top of the head, creates a little separation from the background. People who have shiny hair, it looks really nice. Problem with it, though, is that the intensity of the hair light can be a real problem. If you're trying to use strobes, getting it balanced with all the other lights is a real headache. A lot of times when I'm shooting outdoors, I'll let the sun be the hair light. I'll face the subject with their back to the sun, and then I'll bring light in from the front and try to balance it out that way. But then again, that one's pretty tough too. So a while back, I stumbled on this technique that I've been using for my hair lights, and it just works so well. It's an LED panel light. So it's the kind that was designed actually to go in the hot shoe of your flash. It's, about 3 inches wide by about 2.5 inches tall, maybe 4 inches wide, 4 inches wide by 3 inches tall, I think. And it has a number of LED lights in it. They're daylight balanced. And then it has an adjuster so you can control the intensity of the light from very dim to very bright. And it uses 4 AA batteries. Now, I'll put a link to this in the show notes. That has become my hair light, and it works so well. First of all, it's light. It's very easy to position because it has a tripod mounting socket in it, and it also has a hot shoe socket. So you can use practically anything to position it. In the studio, I put it on a boom and have it right over the model. When I'm on location, I've set it on bookshelves and on GorillaPods and, all that kind of stuff. Whatever works to get it, up so that it's shining on the hair. And I've actually had other people stand on a chair or something, hold the light and position it over the subject's head. Anyway, but because it's so small and light, it works really well. Because the light is adjustable, you can get just the right amount of light on it. And the thing that I really like is that you can see it in real time. So a lot of times what I'll do on these shoots is that I'll use existing light in the studio with reflectors and everything, use this LED light for the hair light, and they just look fantastic. If I have to add more light, I use the Lowell Eagle lights a lot for my continuous lights. And again, they're continuous. This is continuous. It just works fantastic. And I've used it with a single flash indoors and out. And it also works in that situation too. You just got to make sure that the flash isn't too powerful where it'll overpower it. So anyway, it's just a cool technique. It's very easy. Hardly takes up any space in your camera bag. And not to mention that not only are these LED panels good for hair lights, but you can use them for all sorts of stuff. I use them for little fill lights on product shots. I use them for macro photography where I put them in the hot shoe on the camera. They are very versatile, and the price on them has come down a lot. They're much more affordable. I know when I bought this one, it was pricey. It was like $250. Now, you can get them for less than $100. And they're very, very good. So I'll put a link to one in the show notes. But think about hair lights. If you're not using hair lights now, I think they really add a nice professional touch to your portraits. And if you have been fooling around with hair lights and haven't been as successful as you wanted, try this LED panel. I think it'll get you on the road to successful hair lighting for your portraits. Okay, our photo assignment for this week and this month is My House is My Castle. You have the end of October to get that shot in. My House is My Castle. And you can be creative with this. This is begging for creativity. So interpret it as you wish. And one of those folks that submit to this photo assignment that enter a picture will be selected as the Sizzle Picks pick of the month, and they will get a free Sizzle Picks. And that is a good deal because these Sizzle Picks are gorgeous. Now, in fact, those of you that are coming to the workshop, the Fall Color Workshop starts on Sunday here at the TDS studio. I will have new Sizzle Picks on the wall. Yes. So I try to rotate. I try to add a new Sizzle Picks or two a few times a year. So folks that come by the studio a lot get to see something different. So I have some new sizzle picks that you'll get to check out. I'm really looking forward to them. I get to see them tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about this. So anyway, the new sizzle picks will be up here for those of you coming to the workshop. And if you sense excitement in my voice, that's because these things are so cool. They are so beautiful. They make your photography look wonderful. I sometimes feel like when I have a shot made into a sizzle picks that the photo looks better than what I actually took. But you know what? We all deserve a break because certainly we have photos that don't turn out as well as we hope to, right? But the sizzle picks seem to turn out better than what I thought I originally did. SIZZLPIX.com. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. A retina display that you can hang on the wall. They are absolutely gorgeous. And then I also want to mention our good friends and longtime running sponsor over at Red River Paper. And as I mentioned last week, they have been talking about this foolproof archival system. Maybe not foolproof in the sense that, you know, that you're guaranteed of having your images 100 years from now because weird things still happen in the physical world, but at least technology proof, right? Because you don't need a hard drive, you don't need a CD-ROM reader, you don't need any bit of technology to view an archival print. You just need that print to be in a nice sleeve or something and protected and not lost. And you will have it and your family will have it for years to come. And they make some excellent photo papers for this, both matte surface, semi-gloss surface, and glossy surfaces. So just about anything that you want to run through your inkjet printer, they will have for you. And the thing about it is, if you, a couple times a year, select a few of your precious images, make nice big prints of them, take care of them, put them away, or put them in a nice frame where they're protected, then those images will probably be around longer than, well, me, for example. Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, big story this week for me is the Nimble Photographer. Pentax K3 is looking pretty good, and I got to go get ready for the fall workshop that's going to happen in just a few days. And I'm going on a couple good adventures that I'll be able to report on next week. So make sure you come back. I've got so much to talk about. Have a great week. Take some great pictures. See you then. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.